Good evening.
Thanks for letting us share a bit tonight. I hope it's enjoyable for you. I hope it's helpful. We just are keen to be able to share a little bit about Zambia and just our experience over there. So Emily's going to take us away. Thank you again.
Come on, Emily.
Hello, everyone. And welcome. So as you guys probably have heard from us for like the past like 2 months, us five went to Zambia over summer for 3 weeks. Okay.
Amen.
And so obviously we went with Hope Youth Corps, as our Hope Youth Corps. And so for us, this is now just a time just for us to be able to share to you a little bit more, because you guys have already heard probably enough, but we're going to share it more. You're welcome. Just a little bit more just about our personal experiences, and for you to be able to hear from like every single one of us that went, and just like the impact it like really did have on us. So obviously we went to Zambia, and we went to the capital, Lusaka, which is an area that is 3 times the size of the UK and 1/4 less populated than us, okay? So it's a very big country, but clearly not very many people live there. The thing with Lusaka, it was originally, like, this was a fact that I found out before I went, that for me just was kind of like trying to paint a picture about like what Lusaka was actually going to be like. So it was originally a capital that was going to only hold 200,000 people, and now there's about 2 million people living there. So I think for me, when I heard this fact, I instantly was a bit like, okay, so there's going to be a lot of people in a small space. And so I was a little bit like apprehensive, not really knowing like what to expect, and just didn't really have many expectations for this trip, because for me, I wanted to go as open-minded as I could. And so when I heard this, and then another fact that I heard is that the average lifespan is 52 years, which obviously is very minimal. Like, that's kind of a scary fact to hear before you go. Yeah, sorry guys. So that kind of cuts out a lot of the degree. I was a little bit like, that kind of started me, because I was like, what type of environment is it that we're going to be exposed to and going to where like this is something that happens? And so obviously when we were all on the plane, when we're all ready, we all like jetted off, and we were all getting like super pumped in the airport, because we were all just excited just to go out, just to see what it was like, and just to be able to see, like, God clearly put all 5 of us there for a reason. And so for me, when I went, I wanted to see what that reason was. And I think it has probably taken me 2 months to actually like figure that out and be able to talk to you about it now. And so obviously, as I said, we stayed in the capital, Lusaka. And in there, we stayed in a little town called Mutanderi. And in Mutanderi, in Mutanderi, so it's a place that has a lot of people, as I said. But it's just very basic, I'd say. Like, I think for me, the shock that I had when I saw it was the amount of people that were there, but how everybody was just, there was just so many people wandering around all the time. So this meant that, like, for us being in a bus, like, one journey, we literally had to, like, dodge about 10 cars, like, on a road that was, like, I don't know, like a meter long, obviously not, but like you get the picture. And so it was just, it was a little bit startling at first, I'd say. And I think for me, it did take me by surprise. I think you read about African countries and about like some areas where there's a lot of poverty. And I think for me, you go and you get to see it firsthand, and it kind of does startle you. Like, I've been to Egypt, that's the only place in Africa that I've been to, which isn't really like proper Africa. And so when I went here, this is a place that's, but it really isn't. It's very westernized terms of Africa, so it doesn't really count. And so for me, when I went here and I was seeing all of these people, all of these young kids, it was shocking. Like, they don't, education there is a thing, but it's not motivated. Like, they don't push you to go to school. Like, if families choose not to put your child in education, like, they just won't go, and they won't go for their whole life. And so I think for me, when we all signed up for the trip, we knew that when we were going out there, this was something that we were trying to motivate and something that we wanted to be able to share, because Elliot will share about what we got up to there, but that was the aim of our whole youth trip, was the fact that we wanted to go and encourage education and encourage young children to go. So yeah, so as you can see from all the photos, like, this is what we were around, like, for 2 weeks solid, and it was an incredible place. Like, it might look like a little bit like, I don't know what you call it, but a little bit like dirty maybe, a little bit like, I don't know, but that was their like average life. And so for me, when I was going there and like wandering around, like, it was startling, but it really just made you understand that God really is everywhere. Like, I think we can paint a picture of the fact, like, that God's not in here. But when you actually speak to the people that are there, like, for them, God is working even more than you'd ever know. And I think for me, that's something that in my faith really convicted me, because I know I've struggled with the fact, like, oh, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you let that happen? And so I think going there, like, I would talk to people and ask them how they were, and they would just be like, amen, I'm alive. Like, amen that, like, I have a family, I can go to school if I want to, like, I have friends and things. And so for me, it was just convicting in my faith to be able to see that, like, God is good wherever you are and no matter where you are, even in what I would call some very hard circumstances. And so, yeah, so Elliot's now going to talk about, like, what we actually got on.
These are just some more pictures of the markets and stuff. So, as Emily was saying, it's...
Is that where you bought the shirt?
something like that. But, yeah, I think what she was saying, I just want to stress it, even though it seems run down and kind of maybe dirty to us and maybe just disorganised, there's actually kind of a subtle beauty there, I think. But, yeah, anyway. So what did we actually do in Zambia? Well, we were working at a school in Metanderi, a preschool, I think for children, I think it was between sort of years 1 to 3 here, so quite young children. This is the school, so this is when we first got there, this is kind of what it looked like. So obviously it's a bit sort of basic, quite run down, you know, nothing really shouts young preschool like the way that they do in our country. So I think we, as soon as we got there, we sort of saw the challenge that was at hand. So what did we do? Well, we had 2 weeks of renovation. So Ben's going like that. He always abuses me for that picture there of me actually doing manual labour. So we were doing 2 weeks of renovation work on the school, lots of painting, lots of digging, lots of making new flower pots and planting stuff, playground equipment, etc. So so when we first got there, it was really encouraging that actually they were just so happy to see us there helping. And one of the most, I think, impacting things and memorable things for me was one of the local town, like, councillors came and sort of just expressed his gratitude for us coming and and working there. But he said a really memorable quote, which is somebody wrote it down on Youth Corps, so I'll read it now. It just says, "I am happy when I see the youth doing these things because it means the vision will be completed." And I think, it was just really inspiring to get there and just see how much it really meant. And just kind of, even though it can sort of seem a bit crazy, what am I doing here? You know, and like, I'm no builder or painter or anything like that. I don't know what I'm doing. But the difference that, you know, the help that we give really goes beyond what's sort of there at that point in time. But yeah, it was just really great to serve on a first hand basis. Some pictures of Koza and Karina helping out. So yeah, this is some of what we did. So you can see there we painted around the whole of the school, so all of the walls were painted fresh blue, and then the poles were done in nice pretty colours. again, you can see it there. But there was a lot to do. So, as I said, when we got there at first, we were a bit like, wow, like this. It's quite a task at hand. So it was really great that there were so many people that wanted to go on youth court, because it would have been difficult otherwise. But yeah, so there's lots of nice sort of, you got these little flower pots which were, we used like painting tiles, and painted different sort of animals on them over there. There's a little Noah's Ark section. It was just really cool to just see everyone's sort of creativity coming together and just making a really big difference, I think. So yeah, it was really great to see the progress that we made throughout our time there. But also just really, really cool was seeing the kids every morning. So every morning we'd get in, we'd walk in there and they'd be like playing on something new that we put in. So, and you know, there'd be like, I remember one specific picture I have in my head is that we planted over here these tires that were painted like animals going into Noah's Ark, and we just came in and we just saw like loads of kids sitting on them and just like bouncing up and down on these tires. But yeah, I think it was just really, really encouraging just to see that the kids are like just really, really enjoying it. And it just, even though what we thought was like, you know, it's nothing that special, you know, we just kind of worked with what we had. It really made a difference.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing that was really cool as well is that I can't remember who it was. I think it was Nadine Templer who said this, but some of the kids who used to go to the school had walked by and said that they couldn't believe it was the same school that they'd gone to. So, yeah, I think it's just really cool to just see that. You know, I think we can sometimes almost like limit God by our own sort of mental limitations, and just seeing that actually, like, it really does make a big difference. And it may not seem like we have that much to give, but it really makes a really great difference. So yeah, it was really cool. There's some nice pictures, not done by me, but, done by some much more talented people like Corey
and Karina helped out a lot.
Karina and Emily. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, some really nice kind of decoration on the inside of the school. So all of these were just sort of plain white walls and no sort of decoration or anything. So yeah, it really meant a lot to them, which is really cool. Yeah, again, not done by me. These are just some of the kids. It was really amazing as well, just spending time with the children there, I think. They warned us before we started, be careful, don't get too attached, because it's, you know, it's difficult for the children and for us when we have to leave. And I think it was really quite difficult. You see them so much every day. We're going in and seeing them, and they'd run up to you and jump on you, give you a massive hug as soon as you get there. And it was just really cool. So these are some of the kids that we came across, and they just they were a lot of fun as well. So there were some good memories. I've got a short little clip of some of them, just to show you how cute they actually are. Seeing that, you know, what I saw as something like I had little to give didn't matter, because the way that God works in those situations is so much beyond what, you know, what you need to be good at, sort of thing. So, yeah, it was really, really encouraging. But Karina's going to share some of her experiences as well.
I'm going to share what I've learnt in Hope U Corps, and Hope U Corps is one of the most just amazing experiences ever. Like, exposed myself a lot there, like my convictions. What was I really there for? Was it there for fun, or like, was I really there just to learn something more than that? So I'm just going to share just a few things that really helped me a lot. But one thing I really took from Hope U Corps was what serving really means to me. So this is a picture of Grandma School. And while we were working at Mutton Dairy with renovating stuff, there were a few site visits to other places. So one of them was Grammar School. And Grammar School is run by a sister from the Lusaka Church, and she calls herself Grandma, although she doesn't look like she's old. She looks super young, but she's just such a bubbly, warm person. But she welcomes us into her school, and something I was just super inspired by her was how she set up Grammar School. So Grammar School is set up in her own house. So this is actually just outside her house, but her house is right in the middle of this school. And I just thought it was just super incredible how she saw the need of the kids on the streets. And because of that, she decided on her heart to set a school in her own house. And now she's like renovated it, and she's even bought land to plot a preschool there, which is now up and running. And so visiting grammar school was just so incredible, because I really saw God working through all situations. When I first came into grammar school, like, all the kids were like saying hi to us, and this one kid came up to me and started speaking Mandarin to me, and I was like, whoa, this is like incredible. Like, I did not expect that at all, and like, I didn't really know much Mandarin, but I was like, he probably knows Mandarin more than I do, which is absolutely incredible. They like welcomed us in, and grandma showed us her house, which is like right in the middle of the school, where her house is pretty small, but like, she just really welcomed us in with open arms, a lot of love, and she did us like her own children, which is like, I just felt super loved being there. And then she organized like a show where all the kids were showing us how they did their times tables, their spelling. They also did a little skit for us on like how education is like in Zambia. Some of them were dancing, were doing songs. And there was also a teacher there as well, like explaining the importance of trying to get these kids to do extra stuff outside of education. You know, like public speaking, being able to do acting, dancing, and things like that. One thing the teacher said was how they wanted to highlight the talents the children have, because these talents were God's gifts to these children, and how these God's gifts can work alongside education. And something for me that really, I guess really hit me, just how much they value education a lot, but how much they value God's talents they had in them, and how these teachers really want to bring out God's talents in these children. And I could really see that they were really good at singing, public speaking, and acting. And what was just so inspiring, just how much they really praised God because of how gifted they were. They weren't because, oh, because I'm talented in this because of my own, because of, like, what I've been brought up from or anything. They were like, because of God, I am talented. Aww. And that was just super incredible for me to see that. And, super encouraged as well. One thing that I actually cried being at the school, because the kids, so this was up to year six, and so after, obviously, that, they have to go to secondary school, and all education has to be paid for. And so grandma, she was explaining how they really want to encourage these kids to welcome these talents, so that later in the field, if they can't get into secondary school, at least they have these talents so that they can be in the market to really work on that. Especially for the girls, because a lot of the parents can't afford all their kids to go to school, especially secondary school is like, you know, the next big step towards education. So grandma was like explaining how she wants to encourage the parents to just really invest in their children's education, to invest in the talents they have, because they have such great opportunities to, you know, to work further with their talents and the academic skills they have. But it was just really sad for me to see that there is still that barrier where, you know, money and just culturally is an issue where, you know, especially for girls, they just, some, I don't know, it's like some people don't see how that is valuable. Just seeing the kids and having, for them having so much opportunity, like they have so much future ahead of them. My prayers really is just for all of them to really just continue to dream and to, yeah, just to really achieve their goals. Amen. Because they really aspire to really wanting to love God because of the talent they have that God's given them. And there was also two other clubs that we visited, Aspire and SMAG. And Aspire was a girls' club where they promote kind of encouraging girls to get back into school and to for them to be aware of, like, as well, like how they grow up and like not being afraid of asking questions. And SMAG was a club where it was to promote the safehood of mother care and looking after children. And so just seeing like those clubs as well, like seeing how hope really meets the needs of the people by being interactive and being into their own lives. And so seeing the example of the hope workers and for grandma, seeing how much they just really love these people out of their own hearts, not because they wanted to do good things or they wanted to, like, you know, look good or to like earn recognition. It's because out of their own hearts they really wanted to love people. And so for me, there's a scripture in 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11. It says, "If anybody speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anybody serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." And so what I learned, what was serving meaning to me? Before coming to Zambia, I was like, oh, it's a good deed, it's a good humanitarian thing. Like, yeah, you know, it's a good thing to do. Like, you know, people, you know, at uni and at school all do volunteering stuff. It looks good on your CV. You know, it's a good thing to do. You know, people value it. But seeing an example of people in Zambia and, you know, reading the scripture, I was like, wow, serving is actually from the strength of God. It's not because of my own strength, not because, you know, it's a good thing, but actually it's because we serve to bring people closer to God. And for grandma and for the hope workers, they wanted to serve out their own hearts so that people can know God and people can become closer to God. And people can see God through service. And so that was something really incredible to me, and it really amazed me how serving was to bring people closer to God. It wasn't because it, you know, I wanted to look good or it looked good on like Instagram and Facebook, you know, all these pictures and like, oh, like that person did a really good thing during the summer. Actually, it's because people see God through your service. And also in Mark 2, verse 5. It talks about the paralytic man and how in verse 5 it says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" And so here it says Jesus saw the friend's faith. And because of the friend's faith, the paralytic man was healed. And so for me, it was like incredible. It wasn't because of me doing good things or because of my faith that like God can work through that to help others. And I think, yeah, that was just a conviction I really learned and really saw in Zambia, was that it wasn't because of me that helped people. It's because of God that we can help people. And yeah, that was just amazing just to see that, how God was just working in every situation. And that God is good and he gives us hope in hopeless situations. So, well, I guess Jesus, for the friends who are lowering their friend down, probably, I don't know, this was a hopeless situation, like the paralytic man was. You know, it was hopeless, but because of the friend's faith, God, Jesus used to give hope in that hopeless situation. And so, yeah, that was something I learned from Zambia.
Okay, so for me, Africa had always been a dream, but when I learned that Hope Worldwide were doing a program to Zambia, I was really eager to go. Because after hearing so much about the amazing work that they do, I just wanted to get involved firsthand. And this ended up being one of the best decisions of my life. I found myself in a place where I had never been to, both physically and spiritually, and I learned a great deal in the 3 weeks I was there. From meeting and working with the people in Zambia, I was inspired by their perseverance through the challenges and their never-ending joy. They were genuine, faithful, and so passionate about God, and I saw Him working in them. There were many lessons from which I learned a great deal from, and during this trip, I learned to be more open and vulnerable with people. I've always been a reserved person and shy about opening up to people. However, I made deep friendships with some girls in Zambia and was able to confide in them. Being surrounded by so many godly people, I was encouraged to learn more about God and to take the next step in building a relationship with Him. And Zambia has been one of the most life-changing and memorable experiences in my life, and it has given me the desire to know God for myself.
Come on.
Okay, so this is actually at Grandma's school again, going back to that. Literally, Grandma reminded me of Mama G. Like, I can't describe it any other way to the church. Like, just a really sweet, caring person who's just so warm and loving. And obviously everybody in the church knows her as Grandma. Like, everyone knows Mama G is Mama G. So I thought this was like absolutely amazing to be around. So as Karina said, it was around her house. It was very like small, cramped, but absolutely amazing. All these kids were learning about stuff that I'd literally just learned from my GCSEs, and they're like six. And I was like, how are you doing this? They were learning about like deforestation, photosynthesis, all that stuff. And I was like, I don't even know what that is yet. And then again, yeah, the skits as well. They put on skits about child abuse and women being abused at home and stuff like that, making kids aware of like the situations that go on and making them aware of how to actually deal with that, as that is a really big problem there. One of the main things that I got to go to was a home visit. So it was a girl who'd come to the Hope shelter that they have right by the school, basically begging for money, and it was her family's home that I got to go visit. And so I went in, and it's this tiny little house with one room and then like two separated kind of bedrooms. So immediately, this is like one of the most well-off people, like honestly, and they've got their own bathroom, well, toilet, it was, yeah, tiny. But to know that that was like the best of the best, and it was literally just like curtains separating the bedrooms. And it was this older lady with a baby, and she had a daughter, so the daughter who was going to the Hope shelter begging for food, who'd actually been raped and therefore had this baby that she had to look after. And on top of that, because they were one of the more well-off people, she'd opened her home to two other little boys. So that meant taking care of, yeah, crazy amount of people for like with no money. And we noticed that she didn't like get up, and she was like speaking to us, but she wasn't doing anything. And we looked down, and like her feet were all like crumpled up, and she said that she couldn't walk. Really, she couldn't really move around. It like really hurt her, and it's actually one of the most like incredible things, because as well, I always thought of the needy being in need of like food, shelter, all that stuff that we always hear about. And one of the things that she was in most need for was friends, because she couldn't get out of the house, she didn't have anyone to go see, anyone to talk to. And I think that was one of the biggest things for me learning, that thing that I've never even thought about, like anyone not having. Like, I just thought, you know, people have people around them, they're going to have friends, but this is actually a really big need there. And then going on from that, when we looked down at her feet, we also, like, we could tell that it was arthritis. Like, the way she was describing it, everything about it, like, we kind of, like, knew what it was, and she'd said that she'd already been to all the doctors, and nobody knew what it was, and it was this big mystery, and they had no treatments for her, which was absolutely shocking to all of us, because we were there, like, we know what that is, like, and that's just us, ordinary people. So, yeah, I just think Zambia was, yeah, just a big shock to me, I guess, like, really being opened up to the needs around us, and, like, yeah, not just those physical needs of the food, the shelter, but the friendships and everything. So, yeah, I really appreciated Zambia for that, but that was one of the things that I saw, I guess.
Yeah, so another thing that was really great was just meeting some of the people. And yeah, we met some really, really cool people, both actually on the youth corps and also just people from Zambia. So there were two guys that I really kind of connected with there in Zambia. They're both from the church in Lusaka. And that's Mutero over there and Nathan. And yeah, they were just really, really, like, cool guys. And, like, when we first met them, I don't really know what I expected from sort of guys our age over in Zambia. I don't really know if I had an expectation, but they were just so cool. And, yeah, it was just really fun getting to know them. And just, like, I think for me, one thing was just they were just so friendly and such nice people. And all of the people in Zambia are just really friendly and so nice. Like, I remember walking through, the school Mitandere is actually in a compound based in the middle of an illegal market. So, you know, for us there, it's kind of a bit intimidating, and, you know, they keep the doors of the compound locked because if people got in, stuff would just get stolen. Even the workers at the school, they lock the stuff away from the people working at the school because they would steal the stuff. So, as far as they actually take the light bulbs that hang off at night time, they would just get stolen. So, it seems like quite an intimidating place, but then you go out into the streets of this illegal market and everyone's just super friendly. And they just come up to you and be like, hey, how are you? Like, just random people on the street. And they'll just be like, super friendly, like, in London, it would just be like, walk straight past and don't even acknowledge your existence. But so yeah, it was really cool to meet some guys who were just really cool people, talented guys as well. Nathan is a skateboarder, but really good skateboarder. And yeah, his dream is to go to the States and go for it, basically. Go for properly professional skateboarding. So yeah, I pray for him, hope he gets that. And Mutero is an amazing architect, so he's studying architecture, but he showed me a couple pictures, or I think Nathan showed me a couple pictures, of these like models he built. One was of the Shard in, not the Shard, sorry, what's the Burj Khalifa. Burj Khalifa, sorry, in Dubai, that he'd built from, was it cardboard?
Yeah.
Cardboard, and it was unbelievable. Like, it was unbelievable when I saw it. It was amazing. And then there was another one as well. I can't remember it now, but yeah, super talented. So yeah, it was just really cool to just meet some people from over there and just see that, you know, even though it's thousands of miles away and we're worlds apart, kind of in the way we live, you know, that doesn't have to separate us. And especially as Christians, I think just having that kind of common ground is just, it's just really, I guess, encouraging that, you know, I guess the love that we can show to each other because of God's love for all of us, it just meant that it was just super easy to connect. So, yeah, it was cool to meet some of the people there as well. So that was Nathan and Matera.
So then I met a woman called Esther, who's the person in the middle, and she was basically like the queen of hope over there. Like, she basically walked, she basically, like, kind of oversaw and kind of led the Hope charity that was out there. So obviously, as people have said, like, they put on, like, extra classes and, like, extra things. Like, another one was, like, a woman and child bonding session, because the mums don't really have relationships with their children, because basically they didn't actually want to have the child, so they don't have a relationship with the child. Mm-hmm. So it was things like that that, like, Esther would, like, oversee, and just to keep an eye also on, like, the logistics and just the children in itself. So she was very much, like, respected and loved endlessly by all the people there. But the thing that shocked me about her was the fact that no matter what, like, she was always smiling, and she trekked 2 hours every single day to this to the site, and then 2 hours back every day. She wouldn't be able to have a bike because the roads would be too dangerous for her, and so she honestly could get run over and killed. So she had to walk 2 hours every day to this school, and she would be there 7 days a week, like, no matter what. She would get there, she said she'd leave her house by 6 a.m. so obviously get there by 8, and then she wouldn't leave until, like, 6 p.m. So she was dedicated to this school. And she was a woman that had a really hard childhood as well. So she was one of 12 children, six of them who passed away from diseases. So she was now only had six siblings. She had a husband who then raped her and had a child, and then her husband then ran away, and now her daughter is, like, 21, and she's at university, but she doesn't get to see her daughter that often because she's studying so much, and because Esther knows how important education is, and so knows that her daughter needs to be there. And so this is a woman who lives in a house by herself. The bathroom, toilet, kitchen, living room is all in one room. One room, and that's where she lives in, and she commutes 2 hours every day. And the thing that I love about John and Rose is that they're actually helping her to be able to feel better in herself, and they talk to her all the time. Like, they're really good friends with Esther. And I think for me, like, I was able to build a really good friendship with her because of the fact, like, she went to church every day, and she was dedicated to these children. Like, the only thing she cared about was making sure that other people were good. She really never thought about herself. Like, it was hard for me to get anything out of her, because she just always wanted to encourage me. She always wanted to be like, are you okay? Are you good? Are you happy? Like, all of this. And so for me, one thing that, like, I really pray for her is the fact that I want her to find a husband. Honestly, she's such an awesome woman, and she goes to the Lusaka church as well. And so we met her, like, obviously, like, on the weekend as well, on Sunday at church. And she was just there, just, like, with few friends. Like, she doesn't have many friends, even though because she's always giving. And so people easily just forget to give to her. And so I'm just really praying for her because of the fact that she's just literally the queen of hope over there, but yet she doesn't see herself as that. She doesn't have the confidence, but yet she's still always, like, motivated and loving. And so, yeah, that's, I just needed to share about her. And so obviously we had Steve and Sharon and the crew out there, who, again, so if Esther was the queen, basically this family was seen as, like, the king, like the ultimatum. And they were incredible out there. Like, he obviously has come and shared to you guys about what he does out there, like, all the time, which is awesome. And the work that he does, like, me and Ellie actually went to his compound to, like, see everything, and it is incredible. Like, if any of you have the chance to go visit it, do, because it's amazing. They're, like, building, like, a holiday house out there, so maybe get in contact as well. You never know. And so, yeah, so for me, obviously, these people were just inspiring because they lived how Jesus would have. Like, they put themselves in a tough situation and gave everything. Like, they give endlessly their time, their money, their, like, own skills. Like, the boys are, like, trying to learn, like, the native language out there just to try and communicate with the community out there. And so for me, like, they were just absolutely awesome. They were so hospitable, like, just looking after us and everything. And so for me, it's just, they really were just serving every day and just living out the word of God. So I just obviously needed to encourage them and to encourage you guys to be thinking about them as well.
Amen. Amen. So now we'll get to the important bit is, now, like, we wanted to encourage you to go and do likewise as well. So, like, us five just had an amazing experience doing Hope You Call. and one thing that was definitely, like, something I really, like, learned from is, like, was only Jesus that saved. And learning about Jesus' example, how he served, really helped us every day, how we could serve other people. You know, Jesus was concerned about people's salvations. He helped people with leprosy, the demon-possessed, the blind. But in the end, he was really looking at their physical need and spiritual need. And so the great thing about Hope You Call is that we could also look the same, look at people's spiritual need and physical needs. And so in Luke 10, verse 37, it says, this is like the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then this expert of the law asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he talks about the, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in the end, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And so Hope You Call is such a unique way of volunteering, because it combines volunteering with a Christ-like focus, and serving is part of the mission. And so for us, like, we just want to encourage, you know, everybody here to not, it doesn't have to be Hope You Call, but it could be, you know, something else, just out of your own heart wanting to volunteer. I do really want to encourage the teens, preteens, families, singles, students, or just everybody to just really consider about doing something like this, doing something like Hope You Call, where you are serving, but you're serving with a Christ-like focus, and you are learning more to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and in Ephesians 5, verse 6, anyway, so it says to oh no, I've got it.
Come on.
5 verse 6. It says, Five verse sixteen. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And so if you have an opportunity to serve, if you have an opportunity to go to, if you have an opportunity to go to Hope You Call, go to Hope You Call. If you have an opportunity to do something, just do it. Because, like, for us, we've got the opportunity to go to Zambia, and they've heard of really, it's been the most amazing experience, and it's something we'll never, ever forget. And so, yeah, I just really want to encourage you guys to go and do likewise and make every opportunity.
Just to wrap up, I just want to really encourage us all just to really just have Zambia in our prayers. I want to encourage us just to pray for Mittendairy. Just pray for the kids, pray that we can, our work that we did isn't the end of the work that goes on there. So there's always work going on there, work will be continuing. I want to encourage you guys just to pray for that, and there's people from the UK there working as well. Pray for the education over there. This is from the Aspire Clubs. Just pray that education just continues to improve for people over there. It's something that they are working on improving, but I think it's something we take for granted over here. And they really, really appreciate it. Pray for our brothers and sisters out there as well.
Amen.
There's an amazing church over there, which is also one of the most amazing things to visit. Just great fun. There's great people like we have in this room over there as well. So let's pray for them. Let's keep them in our prayers. Pray for the work of Hope. They just do so much amazing stuff there. It's crazy. Just pray that we can just pray that God really just continues working, and just leveraging what we do, and just making so much more of it, because that's what he does. Pray for the clerks. Steve is DIY king. The stuff he's done over there, he's put so much into just everything that he's done over there. And God's just blessed it beyond belief, and he really feels that strongly. And after seeing it. I certainly do. But yeah, he's done so much. So just pray for them. You know, I don't know what their plans are moving forwards, but yeah, just pray that we can. God just, I guess, guides them whatever's the best thing for them to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have we've got our collection for Zambia. Is it next week? Next Friday. So I guess just with everything in mind, you know, I guess I just wanna, I just hope it's helped give you a bit of an insight into Zambia and, you know, life for people over there, but also the work of hope there as well. Yeah, I guess I just wanna encourage us just to really consider that and consider everything we're seeing, consider the people over there, and just really see, and I guess just grasp how much our giving, even though, you know, we're only a group of a few people, you know, God really makes so much happen through that. So I just really want to encourage us just to bear all of that in mind. And this is a school called the Learning Tree Preschool, which our gift for Zambia last year, you know, a lot of that actually factored into making this place like this, and it's beautifully done. And we actually visited here just before our first day at Metondere because, yeah, just to get a bit of a vision for what we were aiming for and what can happen and what we can do. And there is the logo that Nicole Colwick designed.
Come on, Nicole.
On the wall, inside the front, so she's not here, unfortunately, but yeah, it's really cool. And it's just really lovely inside, and I think just seeing it really was just inspiring, just to see that God does so much more with what we give than we can imagine. So yeah, I just really want to just encourage us all for that. But yeah, mainly just thank you for listening to us.
Amen.
Again, and just also thank you all for everything that you've given, and everyone over there is super, super grateful for Thames Valley. And yeah, it was an amazing experience, and I'm so grateful that we were able to go.
And there are 2 Hope Youth Corps next year in Zambia, if you guys want to go and help out where we are.
That's true. That's also true. So, bear that in mind.